Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Our study today is entitled, Wheat in the Barn. And this is our opening take. Jesus said, "Gather the wheat into my barn." When this takes place, the purpose of the Son of Man will be accomplished. The Bible says he sowed good seed and will have his barn filled with it at last. So let us not be discouraged or disappointed. Do you know who the disappointed one is going to be at that time? The devil is the one who will be disappointed. When he hears the words, "Gather the wheat into my barn," he will realize his ways and policies were unsuccessful. The enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, hoping that the false wheat would destroy or injure the true. But he will fail in the end, for the true wheat will ripen, and the true wheat will be ready for the harvest. Amen. Christ's barn will be filled. The tares shall not choke out the wheat. The evil one will be routed, wrapped, chucked, and put to shame. Jesus, on the other hand, shall be satisfied. As he lived and served on earth, he went forth weeping and sowing seed. But when he comes again, he's not going to come again weeping. He will come again what? Rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, Lord, what a privilege it has been to worship you this day. And now, Lord, we, by faith, open your word and we read its sacred pages and we invite your Holy Spirit to attend our time and grant us the blessing that we need. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. So please open with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. The 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And of course, our key verse is verse number 30, where we get the title of our sermon, Wheat in the Barn. But let's carry the parable. Let's get the context here. Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 24. Matthew 13, starting with the 24th verse, the Bible says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed what kind of seed? Good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, Who has done this?" Who has done it? An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" But he said, "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them both do what? Let them both grow together until when? The harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." And now turn a page in your Bible over to verse 36. And let us read the explanation to the parable of the wheat and the tares. Matthew 13, verse 36 now. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, went into the house, and his disciples came up to him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." And he answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is what? The world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is who? The devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels." This is the point. "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. He shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him do what? Let him hear." And as I look around our audience today, we all have our ears on. So let us consider some of the lessons from this parable. In the gathering of the wheat into the barn, the Bible says that good angels are employed. The angels are the reapers. This casts, I believe, special scorn upon the great evil one, the great evil angel that is Satan. He sows the tares and tries to destroy the harvest. So check it out. The good angels are brought in to celebrate two things: his defeat, and then to rejoice together with Jesus that God's barn is full. Satan is going to make a poor profit out of his malicious meddling here on earth, and he will be defeated in how many of his efforts? All of his efforts. And the good angels take part in the gathering process of the harvest. So too often we forget, I believe, the good angels, and I enjoyed that children's story today of the angels watching over us. We should not overlook their tender sympathy and their work in our behalf. They behold the Lord rejoicing over one person who gets down on their knees and repents. One person that gets down and says, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Will you have mercy?" And what does God do? Does he have mercy? Yes. And he shows it, he gives it, and the angels rejoice along with God. They are our watchers and the Lord's messengers of mercy. The Bible says they bear us up in their hands lest we should dash our foot against the stone. And finally, that day when we come to die, they mark the spot where the body lies and keeps that spot till the harvest. That is the resurrection promise, the resurrection morning, was what we like to fondly call the great getting up morning. And if you and I remain faithful to God, till then, guess what we will be a part of? We will be a part of filling God's barn. And so let's take a look at some of the ideas here in the parable. We're actually going to focus on one phrase. We're going to take it in four parts, this one phrase. And the phrase is, "But gather the wheat into my barn." And so we're going to divide up that phrase into four places. First of all, the first word, the word "but," I'm going to suggest is a word of separation. The word "gather" is a word of congregation. The word "wheat" is a word of designation. And the word "barn," a word of destination. So let's take a look at the first word, this word, but gather the wheat into my barn. That word is a word of separation. Here we note that the wheat and the tares, they grow together until when? Till the harvest. This is reality. And this reality has caused much heartache to some of the wheat who have to grow side by side with the tares. Many times the ungodly are as thorns and briars to those who fear the Lord. The Bible clearly suggests that oftentimes a man's foes seem to be found in the closest places. Sometimes in the neighborhood, sometimes at work, sometimes at school, or sometimes even in our own homes. Good men have tried to handle this in various different ways, but the command from God and the fact on the street is, let them both grow together. But then there's that word, but there will come a time at the harvest when a separation will be made. And so this word, but, is a word of separation. And once the separation takes place, it will be final. And question, does the separation need to take place between the wheat and the tares? Yes. Would a God of love allow the wheat and the tares just to go on forever and ever? No. What happens to the field if that happens? Sooner or later, what do the weeds do? Yeah, they take over. And so there is going to be a time in God's wisdom, in His love, and in His power where there will be this divine separation. And at that time, the pious workmen, for the pious workmen, there will be no more joking and taunting from the ungodly. Then the faithful student at the university, there will be no more confusion of truth being mixed with error. At that time, then the godly sister, guess what? Your brother will heap no more ridicule upon you. Or for the Christian woman, your husband will never persecute you again. So that word but will be like an iron gate between the God-fearing and the godless. Then will the tares be bundled up. The Lord of the harvest will say, gather the wheat into my barn, bundle up the tares to be burned up. This separation must be made. For the growing of the wheat and the tares together on this earth has caused much pain and injury. And it will not be continued in that happier and better place that Christ is preparing for us. Amen. God will not have His cleansed ones harassed and defiled by the unbelieving in heaven. Would God have the wheat and the tares heaped together in one mass, in one barn for all eternity? No. Listen, the faithful and the unfaithful may live together down here, but they will not up there. Bundle up the tares is the command. But gather the wheat, where? Into my barn. Now, the next word is the word gather. Gather is a word of congregation. How many of you like to gather together with family and friends and church folk? Yeah, I have a good time when that happens. What a blessing it is to gather together. It's a great privilege and pleasure for us to gather together Sabbath by Sabbath. It's a pleasure to gather together during the weekdays for prayer meeting. By the way, I enjoy the prayer meeting here. We sit around the table in a room back here. We take a little bit of time to read a devotional reading, open God's Word. And did you know the counsel we have through the prophet to this great Advent movement. You know what she says? That the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus, the more God's people will be found where? At the prayer meeting. So, Ken, this is a plug for prayer meeting this morning. Yeah, been attending prayer meeting for a long time. I'm blessed by it every time. So what a privilege it is when God's people, when the wheat, gather together. It is a great thing to gather people together like that. But the gathering of the wheat into God's barn one day is far more wonderful business. And with this gathering, we notice some important points of emphasis. We see here in the parable that there are skilled workers and skilled ones that do the gathering. They are called the reapers. And who are the reapers? The angels of God. The angels of God do the reaping. They're the ones that separate the tares. I'm going to put it, the fake wheat. Yeah? I understand that wheat now is not as good as what it was the way God made it. And so maybe some of this stuff we have today we can put in the fake category. I don't know. But the tares, they're the ones that appear with the wheat and appear like the wheat. But as things mature, it's very clear that they're not wheat. So the angels gather the tares, bundle them up to be burned. And then the angels gather the true wheat, and they're taken into God's barn. So who does the gathering and the separating? Yeah, the angels do. They're the reapers under the command of God. I'm just emphasizing that simply because there's a temptation sometimes for you and I to do gathering and reaping. And that's not our job. We're the wheat. Amen? Yeah. We're maturing to be placed in God's barn. We'll get to that in a few minutes here. Wheat doesn't harvest itself. And so, you and I, it's not our job to do the separating at any time. If we thought that we had the wisdom to do the separating, we would surely make something. Guess what we would make? We would make mistakes and we would make a mess. The angels of God do no mistakes. They know their master's property. My angel has been watching over me from the day of my birth till now and will until the day that I die or when Jesus comes. Same with yours. So our angels know us well. And they serve the God of the universe who knows us even better. And so the angels are the reapers. I'm not, and neither are you. The second thought of this idea of the gathering, I believe, means much because this gathering will be from great distances. The Bible says the wheat's going to come from every nation and kindred and tongue and people. I've heard some people think that, oh, only a few people are going to make it. And people who think that, I put them in the category of troublemakers. The Bible pictures a number in heaven that John started counting, and he didn't count very far. He stopped. And he just wrote down a number that no man can what? Count, that no man can number. So this great gathering is going to be from great distances, from every nation and kindred and tongue and people. This gathering will also be from the all ranks of society. The angels will bring ears from the palaces of the world and great armfuls from cottages of small places all over the place. There's going to be rich, there's going to be poor, there's going to be free, there's going to be bond, there's going to be educated, there's going to be uneducated. The gathering is going to take place of all kinds of people, and we ought to thank God because we're part of the all kinds. This gathering will also come from all ages. Adam's going to be gathered. Abel's going to be gathered. Enoch is what? Already gathered. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Daniel, John the Baptist, Paul, all the apostles. People groups like the Waldenses, the Albigenses, the courageous reformers like Wycliffe and Huss and Jerome and Luther and Calvin and Zwingli. There were the great leaders of this great Advent movement, William Miller, the Whites, the Bates, the Andrews, the Smiths, the Haskells, and the list goes on. And you and I, if we stay faithful and obedient to the mission of this movement, we will be gathered as well. So the word gatherer is a word of congregation. It's a word of getting it together and being together. And that last gathering is going to last for how long? Forever and ever. The word wheat. The word wheat is a word of designation. What is it a word of? Yeah, it's a word of designation. That which is gathered for the Lord's barn is wheat, and only wheat. There is no other. There are no tares placed in the Lord's homestead. The seed of the serpent, fathered by Satan himself, is separated from the seed of the kingdom owned by Jesus. Satan's produce is bundled up and burned. Jesus' goods, the wheat that is, are designated for God's barn. So listen, even if the most nice and amiable unconverted person, so what kind of person are we talking about? Unconverted. So somebody, let's say, who decides they don't want anything to do with God, they do not accept Christ as the Son of God or their personal Savior or their Lord, they decide to wing it and just live their life as is. Somebody who decides that, are they at times able to be kind and nice? Yes. So even if the most, follow the thought, even if the most nice and amiable unconverted person, they're not interested in believing in God or accepting His Son as Savior, but they are, for the most part, kind and know how to do good things in the community. If they could stand in and with the saints for a while, if that were to take place, what would the angels do? The angels would not bear them to the barn. Why? Because the mandate at the harvest is gather what? Gather the wheat. So may I encourage all of us at this moment to consider a few searching ideas. So this is just personal examination time now. The wheat was sown by the Lord. Question, are you sown by the Lord? If you have any religion or spirituality, where did you get it? Was it self-sown? If so, it isn't good for anything. True wheat is sown by who? The Son of Man. So are you sown of the Lord? Did the Spirit of God drop the graces and principles of eternal life into the soil of your heart and your mind? Have you contemplated that and accepted that personally? Did it come from that dear hand which was nailed to the cross? Is Jesus your life? Does your day begin and end with Him? If the answer to this question is yes, praise God. It is well with your soul. And here's another thought. The wheat is not only sown of the Lord, but it is also the object of His care. Wheat needs a fair amount of attention. The farmer would get nothing from it if he did not watch it and care for it. So, another question, are you under the Lord's care? Does He keep you? Do you experience His wonderful keeping? If so, then you are wheat that will be a blessing and give nourishment to your community. For wheat is a useful thing, a gift from God for life to men. The false wheat, that is the tares, what is of no good to anybody. And so here's another thought question for you and for me. Are you one of those who are wholesome in society, who are like bread to the world, so that if men receive you and your example and your teaching and your friendship, are they blessed? We need to, at this time, because I believe time is short, we need to search and examine ourselves to see if these things are true or not. Our final thought that we want to consider in this phrase is the word barn. The wheat is gathered where? Yeah, as Jesus told the story, He said, into My barn. So this word barn is a word of destination. This is God's barn. And what a barn this is. You can read, you remember, in the book of John, Jesus is telling His disciples that He's going to leave them. And He says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to suggest that that place that He's building is the same thing in this parable as the barn of God. In the book of Hebrews, this place is called a city. And in the book of Revelation, the city's name is what? The New Jerusalem. And when you read John's description of the New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, what a barn that is. Here on earth, have you ever been in a nice barn? Yeah. I've been in some of these barns. I mean, they look like they're old, but they've kind of been refurbished. Those things are amazing. But nothing compared to the barn that the angels are going to be taking you and I to. The Apostle John saw God's city, His place of preparation for the saints. He saw it coming down out of heaven as what? As a bride adorned for her husband. So, gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Yeah, do you recall the day when your bride walked down the center aisle there? Yeah, what a day that was. Amen. Well, I thought there would have been a better amen than that. Yeah. Yeah, it was June of 1986. My bride, she was walking down the center aisle. She had two men on both sides of her walking her down the aisle, her dad or stepdad, and I could hardly stand still. Yeah. I said to the pastor, the preacher, his name was Elder DeHaven. He was a longtime chaplain at Wawa College back then. What a godly man he was. I leaned over to him and I said, those two men better enjoy the moment, because when they let go, she's all mine. And he leaned over and said to me, not until I say so. What a wonderful time that was. And so this place is described. John says, I saw it coming down from heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. And then John gets the closer view, and there are these foundations to the city of God. And what are the foundations like? Yeah, they're made of precious stone. It's not concrete and block like we do down here. You know, God's foundations are precious stones. And then there's 12 gates, 3 gates on each side of the city. And you and I, we're going to go through one of those gates. And as we walk through, we're going to be walking through a pearl. And the city is a huge city. And the gates are in proportion to the city. Can you imagine walking through a glowing pearl? And then you get into the city, and the sidewalks and the streets are pure gold. The Bible says transparent gold, so pure you can see through it. And the description goes on, and it's amazing. God is preparing a place in that place for you. And then after the millennium, after the wicked are burned up, he's then going to recreate this earth and our heavens, and we're going to build homes. So you and I, you know, we're going to have a home in the country, and we're going to have a home in the city of God. Don't you want to go? I do. And this, my favorite description of God's barn, of his place, is the size of it. You know, John saw an angel measuring the circumference of the city, took a reed and measured around the city, 12,000 furlongs. That's 1,500 miles around the city. And the city lies 4 square. So it's like that. So if you were to run around the city, you start at this corner, you'd run up to this corner there, you just ran 375 miles. Then another 375, then another 375, and then back to where you started for the 1,500-mile race. That's a big place. If you do the square miles on that, it's over 140,000 square miles on level 1. Because the text says that the length and the breadth and the height of it are what? Equal. I don't even know how to imagine that. But if that city goes like 375 miles up into the air, I wouldn't mind having a room on the top floor. What about you? Yeah. A long time ago, my mom had trouble with her legs. She had some MS problems. And she worked through that. She's walking much better, but it's still not the greatest. And she was talking to me about that one time, her struggles a little bit going through that. And I told her, I said, Mom, at the harvest, when Jesus comes, he's going to fix us. And she said, well, I can't wait. And she looked at me and she said, I tell you what, I'll cut you a deal. She said, you be faithful and be there in heaven. I'll be faithful, be there in heaven. And she said, we're going to meet at one of the gates on the inside. And she said, I'm going to race you. At that time, I ran a fair bit. She said, I'm going to race you across the city. I said, Mom, that's 375 miles. She said, that's okay, because we're going to walk and not get weary. We're going to run and not faint. And she says, we're going to stand there. She says, I'm going to say when we're ready to go. And she says, I'm going to beat you to the other side. So I told my mom, it's a deal. I'm ready for it. Are you ready for it? Yeah. Jesus is preparing this wonderful place for you and for me. And he's going to do the gathering, and he's going to make sure his wheat are kept. And so the Bible says, Jesus said, gather the wheat into the barn. When this takes place, the purpose of the Son of Man will be accomplished. He sowed the good seed, and he will have his barn filled with it at last. So let us not be disappointed. Do you know who the ones that's going to be disappointed? The devil is. The devil is the one who will be disappointed when he hears the words, gather the wheat into my barn. He realizes his ways and policies were unsuccessful. The enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, hoping that the false wheat would destroy or injure the true. But he will fail, for the true wheat will ripen through the power and the love of God. And be ready for the harvest. Christ's barn will be filled. The tares shall not choke out the wheat. The evil one will be routed, wrapped, chucked, and put to shame. Jesus, on the other hand, shall be satisfied. As he lived and served on earth, he went forth weeping, sowing seed. But when he comes again rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to be a part of your plan, to be a part of your workings. And Father, we ask that you will help us to mature and grow till the great harvest when you come. Oh, Father, keep us to this. Help us always to keep our eyes on Jesus. And we ask these things in his worthy and precious name. Let all the church say, amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Ottagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.